And the one who is rescued, so that he can in turn rescue and save us. You know, I read an article in the Post Bulletin. It was on the religion section. It was written by a Unitarian Universalist pastor. And interestingly enough, he refers back to A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens, and says that Charles Dickens was a Unitarian Universalist, and that the story of A Christmas Carol is all about compassion and generosity and being good and kind to the poor. And that's true enough. And then he said, that's the meaning of Christmas, being kind and generous and compassionate. And I thought, wow. You know, because you can't have Christmas without C-H-R-I-S-T. And the Christmas, the Christ Mass, is from the 5th century. A midnight Mass when they celebrated the Nativity, the birth of Jesus, the Word made flesh. I thought, how sad. If people think that it's only about kindness and compassion and doing good deeds, because that's important. That's the fruit of the gospel. But it's not the replacement for the gospel. You see, Christmas is all about Jesus. His name means Savior. The reason Jesus is born is to save us, to redeem us, to rescue us, not just simply to teach us how to be good human beings. That's the fruits of righteousness. That's the holiness that the Holy Spirit inspires in us and through us as a gift to the world in the name of Jesus. Compassion, kindness, goodness, generosity, it's all important. It's all the fruit of Christmas. But Jesus is the meaning and the message of Christmas. That's why we gather today. That's why we celebrate for 12 days of Christmas, so that we don't forget that Jesus Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Remember, what child is this? Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. That's Christmas. That's why we're here today. That's why you're going to go forth like a Christmas angel, Word made flesh, carrying in your womb the Christ child, the Savior of the world, and bearing fruit to His glory and to His praise. Did you notice that this little creature of God, a spider, was given a gift from the Creator God? The ability to spin? A spinning a web. I don't know about you, but I grew up on a farm and I don't particularly like spiders. I mean, there's all kinds of fake news out there. And one of them is that people swallow 8 spiders a year while they're sleeping. Not true. It's an urban legend. But there's lots of other things, too. People are worried about getting bit by spiders. But actually, you don't have to worry too much about that. I don't like spiders. And I got to be honest, I have a tendency to squish them, or to get rid of them when I see them. I know they're probably getting rid of some nasty little vermins that I don't want around. But after hearing this story today, I've got to be a little bit more gentle with spiders. The spider got a gift from God and re-gifted it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Re-gifting, isn't that kind of a nasty thing? Isn't it like, well, I got a sweater or a tie or I got something that I don't particularly like. Maybe it was a wedding gift, but hold on to it. Don't take it out of the box. You can always give it to another couple when they get married. But I want you to think about regifting in terms of what we learned from that little spider in the story of the cobweb curtain. She had a gift that God had given her, and she re-gifted it. I've always told my granddaughters, what happens when you share? They know, they've learned. They've gotten the word. When you share, you get twice as much, Baba. What happens when you don't share? You get half as much. You see, when you re-gift the greatest gift of all, God's love for you, the baby Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord and Savior, the crucified and risen one, when you re-gift him, you don't lose the gift. You don't just pass on something you don't want. No, what happens is the treasure gets deeper into your heart. Whenever you give Jesus away, you get more of him. I promise you. Get into God's Word. Read His Word. His Word will get into you. The Word becomes flesh, and it dwells among us, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness, we all receive grace upon grace. For God so loved the world. You want to know how God loves? He gives. That's what love does. Love gives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Christmas. The gift of Christmas that is always leading to a cross. I came here to Oasis for the kids' Sunday school program for Christmas. Christmas is the cross. Beautiful song, little video thing and stuff they had. But that's what it's about. And the kids were proclaiming it. They were Christmas angels. They were telling people, you got to know that it's not just the baby that's in a manger. The baby is going to be hanging on a wooden cross, wrapped in swaddling cloths, wrapped in a linen shroud. No place for him in the inn? There's room in your heart. God is making a place in your heart again today for the newborn Jesus, for the King of Kings, for your Lord and your Savior. It's all about re-gifting, using the gifts that we first got, and then sharing them and doubling them and multiplying them and always keeping them ever deeper as a treasure in your own heart. But you know what happens? Some people, they get all goofed up about regifting. Or some people, they don't understand what grace is. They don't understand what a gift is. They think it's always quid pro quo. They think it's always, well, but you know, if you gave me something, then I've got to give you something, right? Then there's this feeling of obligation. We got some wonderful gifts from the congregation yesterday. A big surprise, all these gift cards and stuff. But I'll tell you what, the best gift of all isn't just the gift. I mean, I got this beautiful stocking cap, and I need that because I don't have much up here, and I got to cover my ears. And every time I wear that stocking cap, yes, it serves a good purpose. It's a beautiful gift and fruit. But guess who I remember? I remember the giver. I remember the giver, right? And that's what it's about, my friends. On Christmas, we remember the gift and the giver. But some people have a hard time with gifts. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and maybe you watch TV, and maybe you don't. I happened around Christmas time to watch a few of the sitcoms and stuff because they usually have Christmas episodes. Anybody in here, I don't know if you want to admit it or not, you watch a show called The Middle? Anybody ever see a show called The Middle? Okay, some of you know that, okay? The father is Mike, and Mike can be a little bit coarse with some of his words, okay? But it's called a sitcom, and it's supposed to be about humor, right? They had their Christmas episode, and it was called A Merry Christmas, M-A-R-R-Y, because you see there had been a falling out between the mother, Frankie, and her firstborn, Axel. And Axel, it was all because Mom didn't approve of the girlfriend of his, April. And, well, to be honest, and I know it's not politically correct, but it's a sitcom. And so Axel is kind of like one brick short of a full load. And April is not the brightest light bulb on the tree. Okay? But Mom, Frankie, doesn't think that she's good enough. And it gets to be this fight and commotion. So he takes off, and this is going to be a terrible Christmas. All kinds of dysfunction, all kinds of anger and angst in the family. And Axel decides that he's going to make his mom mad by getting married to April on the spur of the moment. So that's kind of the storyline. Merry Christmas. But I always like the subplots. Because in that episode, there's Mike. And Mike doesn't understand grace. And Mike doesn't understand what a gift is. He just doesn't. So a neighbor, a friend of his, a really good guy named Bill. Bill comes over, knocks on the door. He's got a gift. And Mike says, is this for Frankie, for the kids? He said, no, it's for you. For me? Why would you do that? Well, I noticed that you squint all the time. I noticed that you don't wear sunglasses. So I got you sunglasses because I was thinking of you. Why would you do that? Why would you think about me? He's just really uncomfortable with this whole getting a gift thing. And so Bill says, try them on. I want to see how they look on you. And Mike goes, no, that's okay. It's kind of an awkward, uncomfortable moment. It just is. And so Bill, the giver, walks away. Now Mike's at a quandary. What's he going to do? Now I got to get him something. What am I going to get him? Where did he go to school at? Or, you know, I mean, if he's a cobber, you can always figure out something like that, right? You know, get him a little yellow beanie or something. But what is he going to do? And so throughout the episode, he's just torn. And the younger son, Brick, his idea of a great day is spending the whole day in the library or reading a book. And Brick knows everything about everything because he's so well-read. He's 15 years old, just started high school, I guess. Well, Dad goes to Brick and says, how much you think these are? I got to know so that I can get him the same amount of a gift. Brick says, well, those are really good ones, Dad. I can tell, you know, the ultraviolet rays that they get. I would say 42, 50, Dad. Well, Frankie catches Mike trying those sunglasses on in the bathroom. She said, try them on. Yes. Boy, you look good in those. You could be a police officer or something. You're going to arrest me? And he says, yeah, I do look good in these, don't I? He can't handle this. I mean, seriously, you're going to meet people in life. You just are. In your neighborhood, in school, in the workplace, you're going to meet people, even in church, that can't comprehend a gift. They just can't wrap their head around it. Mike can't do it. He says, this ends right now. I'm going to go over there. We're going to settle this. This is going to be done with. Because it's just agonizing him. It's ruining Christmas for him. This whole quid pro quo gifting stuff. So Mike goes over there to Bill's house. And he says, okay, how much? What do you mean, how much? How much were the glasses? This is going to be over right now. I'm going to pay up and we're going to be done with this. How much? He said, what? How much for the glasses? He said, well, they were like $42. And what about with tax and stuff? Okay, Mike, $44.50. So Mike pulls out $45 and says, here, keep the change. Now we're even. Now it's all square. And Mike is walking back down the sidewalk. And he's about to get on his motorcycle, and Bill is at the door just wondering, I'm reading into this, but like, what is wrong with this guy? Doesn't he know what a gift is? Well, you get this wonderful line. Hey, Mike, Bill says, hey, Mike, do you like him? And then you get the picture of Mike putting the sunglasses on with a big smile. I love them. Why is it so hard for people to receive the gift of Christmas? We think we got to earn everything. We think we got to be entitled to everything. We think that we got to repay everything. That there's an obligation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves and God gives. He gives you Jesus. The Father gives the Son. The Son gives the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life and faith by which we are justified and saved. In Christ alone. That's the celebration of Christmas. And from the cobweb curtain, from that little spider, we suddenly realize that everything we have, everything we are, is a gift from the greatest giver of all. And someday, we return the gift back to the giver God. Even our beloved spouse, parents, children, we do. But we do so with hope and with faith and with promise that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, to prepare a place for us. The crucified and risen one, that's what he does. He prepares a place for you and for me. A spider rescued the Christ child when he was in harm's way, so that some 30 years later, the Christ child could rescue and redeem you and me. Now that's a gift that needs to be re-gifted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.